Param Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiriyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nar Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master, and in this case, the inspirer. Nashtabhayesha Bandreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Can we at least slow these down a little bit for me? It's kind of windy here. Thanks a lot. Did I do Om Namo?
Yeah.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 10th day of September 2014 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 10, the Summa Bonum, Chapter 48, Krishna Pleases His Devotees, text number 32. Sa bhavam suridam vai naha shreyam shreyash chikirshaya yigyasartham pandavanam gachasva tvam gajavayam. Sabhavan suridam vaina shreyan shreyash tikirshaya jingyasartam pandavanam gachasvatvam gajavayam. Sabhavan suridam vaina Shriyan Shriyash Chikirshaya Jinyasartam Pandavanam Gachasvatvam Gajavayam Sabhavan Suridam Vaina Shriyan Shriyash Chikirshaya Jignyasartam Pandavanam Gachasvatvam Gajavayam. Sabhavan suridam vaina Shreyan Shreyas Chikirshaya Satam Pandavanam Gachasvatvam Gajavayam. Sabhavan suridam vaina Shreyan Shreyas Chikirshaya Jigyasartam Pandavanam Gachasvatvam Gajavayam. Ladies, Sabhavan Suridam Vainav. Shreyan Shreya Shikirshaya. Jigyasartam Pandavanam. Gachasvatvam Kajavayam. Any other ladies? Synonyms myself, you can read along. Saha, that person, Bhavan, you, Suridam, of the well-wishers, by, certainly, Naha, our, Shreyan, the very best, Ha, for their welfare, Tikirshaya, wishing to arrange, Jigyasa, of inquiry, Artham, for the sake, Pandavanam, about the sons of Pandu, Gachasva, please go, Tvam, you, Gajaavayam, to Gajavya, Hastinapur, the capital of the Kuru dynasty. Translation. This is Krishna speaking to Akura. You are indeed the best of our friends, so please go to Hastinapur and, as the well-wisher of the Pandavas, find out how they are doing. Purport. In Sanskrit, the imperative, you go, may be rendered by gachasva or gacha. In the second of these cases, the word following gacha, namely sva, which is taken in the vocative sense, indicates Krishna addressing Akura as our own. This is in reference to Lord Krishna's intimate relationship with his uncle. So I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. Pitara yupadate bala sahamatra sudukkitaha anita saparam ragya vasanta iti shushuma. We have heard that when their father passed away, the young Pandavas were brought with their anguished mother to the capital city by King Dhritarashtra, and that they are now living there. Teshu rajam vikaputro bratra putreshu dinadihi samo navartate nunam dushputra vashagon dhadrik. Indeed, weak-minded Dhritarashtra, the son of Ambika, has come under the control of his wicked sons, and therefore that blind king is not treating his brother's sons fairly. Gacha janihi tadvrittam aduna sadvasaruva vigyaya tadvidhasyamo yitasham suridam bhavet. Go and see whether Dhritarashtra is acting properly or not. When we find out, we will make the necessary arrangements to help our dear friends. Ityakuram samadishya bhagavan hadir ishwaraha sankarshano dvabhyam vai tatak svabhavanam dhyo. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus fully instructing Akura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, then returned to his residence, accompanied by Lord Sankarshan and Uddhava. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 48th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, Krishna Pleases His Devotees. Om Jnanata Varandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So I was thinking what to say about this incident, these verses, and I'd like to just look at the whole context of what's going on here. So as you've been reading, Krishna, after killing Kamsa, has now gone to Kubja's house, and now Akura's house, because he promised. This title is called Krishna Pleases His Devotees, so those devotees happen to be, in this case, Kubja and Akura. And in this case, Krishna has come to Akura's house, and Akura has offered all of these prayers, not only to him, but to Balaram. And they're very, he's recognizing them as the supreme personalities of Godhead, and the source of all this material world and these energies and all kinds of very important philosophical presentations. But in the process of doing that, he's not relating to them as nephews. In other words, the rasa there is, you are the exalted lords and I am this insignificant servant, which is a bona fide rasa. But Akura has a more intimate relationship with Krishna and Balaram. He's their uncle. He's a well-wishing friend. And so Krishna wants to reestablish that. And so if you recall a few verses earlier, What this reminded me of was how a few chapters earlier, when Krishna killed Kamsa and liberated his father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki, from the prison after a long suffering in the dungeon and all of the persecution, that Vasudeva and Devaki, as it says directly in the Bhagavatam, they understood now fully well that their sons were really the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. And if you recall, they were just standing there awestruck. They couldn't even say anything. There was no Vatsalya Ras going on there at that point. It had been kind of covered over by this realization, no, this is actually God. It's just like when Yashoda saw the universal form within Krishna's mouth. Remember, for a second there, she thinks, oh, I'm thinking this is my son, and Nanda Maharaj is his father, and this, you know. And so Krishna didn't like that, and so he covered her over with Yogamaya, and again she could feel like this is his son. So the same thing happened with Vasudeva and Devaki. Right, he bowed down to them and addressed them as mother and father and apologized, remember, for causing them so much suffering by not being able to protect them. And that just evoked this Vatsalya Ras, and they took Krishna and Balaram on their laps and they started crying and drenching with tears. So it's not quite as intense or intimate here, but still, Krishna is doing a similar thing. After this very official prayer by Akura, he then says, thus worshipped and fully glorified by his devotee, the Supreme Lord Hari smilingly addressed Akura, completely charming him with his words. So he's again evoking this more intimate mood, which is the uncle, you know, the well-wishing uncle. So what does Krishna say? Oh, you are our spiritual master. You know, he's speaking like this. Paternal uncle, praiseworthy friend, and we are like your sons, always dependent on your protection, sustenance, and compassion. So this is Vatsalya Ras, right? When you're dependent, Krishna feels dependent, wants to feel dependent on the seniors who have that mood, who are able to see him in that way. So Akura is, of course, not on the level of Nanda and Yashoda or even Vasudeva and Devaki, but he's still in that role. And then he praises them, he praises Akura as a great soul who can give all benedictions for when good association and like that. And then we get to the present series of verses, and Krishna asks for a service. He asks for a service from Akura. This is how Krishna's devotees realize their relationship with him. Not just by thinking, oh, I'm Krishna's friend, or I'm Krishna's parent, or like Krishna's parents, or whatever, but actually acting like that. Hearing about, immersing their consciousness in that rasa as it's expressed by the eternal associates of Krishna, and acting that way. Just like deity worship is like that. When the time comes, we say, oh, I have to do this offering. Krishna's going to be hungry, right? And I have to prepare it nicely. And we have to buy the best ingredients. I have to be on time. I have to be clean. And all of these things, right? In the consciousness that we're going to feed Krishna and he's going to taste the devotion there. And so it's important that he get his, on time and all of these different things. So what to speak of the dressing and all of the festivals and these are meant to evoke our relationship with Krishna in a loving way. Not always, like awe and reverence, and the all-powerful source of everything and that thing. So, but in devotional life, we understand those things also. It's not that we skip over that. That's the foundation, and that's why Bhagavad Gita is full of understanding of Krishna's tattva as the source of all energies and the Supreme Master and all of these things. But even in the Bhagavad Gita, we find at the end, Suridam Sava, Krishna says, Manmanabhava Madhbhakto Madhyajima Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosime. Because you are dear to me, and I love you so much, you now bow down to me, and you think of me, and become absorbed in me, and you'll certainly come to me. Whereas in the end of the ninth chapter, he didn't have quite that intimacy, remember? So Krishna is the best friend of the living entity, as well as the source and the master and the controller of everything. So in Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, there's so much philosophy in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, but as well, the essence, the ultimate essence that we're searching for is one of these relationships. And Akura is now being sent on a mission. Now you can ask, I remember at one point We had this whole issue of whether Prabhupada was omniscient or not, you know, and Prabhupada, you know, he expressed directly that he's not omniscient like Krishna, but at the same time we understand that the great devotees, they're trikala gya, they can understand the hearts of the devotees, so they're not on a material level and they know more, but they're not omniscient like Krishna. So one of the examples that I focused on was how Krishna often presents himself as not omniscient. As a case like this, he Akrura has just glorified Krishna and Balaram as the all-pervading, you know, great source of everything, and of course they're omniscient. And now he's asking Akrura to go to Hastinapur to find something out. You know, Akrura doesn't say, "Well, what do I need to do that for? Don't you know everything already?" He says, "Oh, great, I got a mission from Krishna." And he got into the mood. In other words, he's covered a little by yoga maya. Oh, I have to do this. And Krishna needs to know. Right? This is the idea, is that we switch back and forth. And in the ultimate issue, the most intimate devotees of Krishna, they don't know he's God. They don't want to know he's God, and he doesn't want them to know he's God. God. You know, just think of it as God. The all-powerful, knows everything. They want to feel that, the gopis want to feel that, Krishna is gone. When is he coming back? You know, they don't want to be in the mood of the yogis. Don't preach to us this yoga, right? When Krishna sees him at Kurukshetra, or even he sends Uddhava, they're a little upset. We're never separated. We're never separated. You're always in your heart, and you can always appear. No. We want to see you here in your beautiful, full bending form, playing the flute, walking with us on the bank of the Yamuna. So you can see how there's a spectrum there. To come from the materialistic platform to the point of bhakti, we have to go through this understanding, and it's essential that we get the understanding of the tattva, of who Krishna is, of the energies of Krishna, how we're part of the energy, we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're never separated, Krishna's in our heart always, you know, and that's true. There's no question that that's true. But the Prabhupada simultaneously gave us, you know, again, the morning program, or the whole daylight, each day in Krishna consciousness, as is constituted. You get up early, you know, this is how it was all the old timers here, you know, you get up, you get out of your sleeping bag, cold shower, and down to the temple, you know, we want to see Krishna, Krishna's waiting to see us, and there's the beautiful deities. And you chant, and you sing, and you know, Krishna's there. And then the curtains close. We used to like go and try to get in the middle there to get the last few seconds of the darshan of Krishna because the curtains are closing, right? Remember that? That's how eager we should see it. Beautiful beauty. And now we can remember. You know, we'd ask each other during the day, what was Krishna wearing? You know, how was he dressed? You know, and you do your services, chanting Hare Krishna. I remember the signs in the temple. You know, no gaps. You know, no gaps. Like, don't forget Krishna. Always chant. You know, and so then we're thinking, going through, and then as the afternoon wears on, the evening aarti is coming. You know, and we in Brooklyn anyway, we'd all go, you know, get ready for the evening aarti, and there would be, you know, again the that wonderful song about Lord Chaitanya being worshipped. You know, and you can visualize that and kirtan, all the devotees together. So it's just like that. It's meeting, separation, longing, and meeting again. It's built on that model, just like in Vrindavan, right? They see Krishna, he walks out to the forest, the boys get to play with him, the gopis have to stay home, the parents have to stay home. When is he coming back? I was just reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you know, the sixth chapter of the Abhishtalabhanam, you know, his attainment of all desires, right? And it's described there how, the, you know, this incredible longing to see, you know, to see Krishna as he's coming back, and where is the dust? Do we hear the flute? There it is. You know, and here's the dust, the dust cloud coming, and everybody's wondering, and you know, it's described how the gopis, when he was to come in, they would leave their homes in a body. It describes the end of the 15th chapter. What it says: Tango rajastut the kunta la bandha bara vanya pasuna rudirekshana charuhasam. Venam konandam anagaru bhagita kirtam gopyo bhadukshita dasho bhikamang saneta. And when he's coming back, he's all that dust, that transcendental sacred dust raised by the cows, it's all over his hair and everything, you know, making it even more beautiful. So come go to just Tutatakundala. He's got the little peacock plume, Vanya Pasuna, the wonderful forest flower garland, so fragrant. And of course, Rishi Dikshit, a very beautiful, smiling glance. And he's playing his flute. His coward friends are singing about him, his glories from whatever happened during the day. And then Gopio, the Dikshit of Drishol, the gopis, their eyes, very eager to see him, would rush out in a body from their homes and stand and wait to come out. You see? And then it describes the next verse. I won't give you the Sanskrit. Would there be like eyes? The gopis would drink in the honey-like thick beauty of Krishna's face and in this way relieve the burning suffering they felt during the day but not seeing him. You know, and their shy glances and smiles was sufficient a mode of worship at that time, and he greeted them and he welcomed them like that and came. So this is the ultimate goal of life is to be always, you know, mad after seeing Krishna, serving Krishna, and experiencing him with all the senses, and being in Goloka Vrindavan in this mood of meeting, separation. So Akura is not on that level exactly, but he's part of the whole scene, and Krishna now is evoking his service attitude. Yes, of course, I am your eternal servant. I'll go to Hastinapur. It was dangerous, you know. He's going amongst the, you know, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, you know, and he could have been arrested, whatever. He's on a mission from Krishna for the Pandavas, you know, who the Duryodhana and so forth thought as arch enemies. So there was an element of adventure there, and he's going to do that and investigate. We'll read in the next chapter. He meets Kunti and all the others. But this idea of entering into the mood and seeing Krishna. We're meant to do that. Seeing Krishna as our intimate friend. This is in such contrast to every other religion. You know, most religions that exist in the world, God is the lawgiver. He's the punisher. He's the controller. He's the damner. You know, for all the sins and infidels, you know, and down to the lake of fire for eternity, you know. And what kind of God is that? You know, is that a God you can love, you can feel as your best friend? That's a God to fear, right? Fear and trembling, you know. That's not Krishna. I mean, Krishna is there for the demons, you know, they feel like that. But for the devotees, those who want to be religious and who are endeavoring to purify their heart, to awaken that eternal love that's already there, you know, Krishna makes all these arrangements. You know, he wants us to do that. And so he sends his representatives, such as Srila Prabhupada, you know, to come to these shores to awaken that spark that he knows is there, even in the unlimited Jagais and Madais on this side of the Atlantic. You know, Prabhupada came here. He didn't go to London. Because that's Lord Chaitanya's mood, that's his mission. That the lowest can become the highest. That they're just as eligible as everyone else, and even more. He found in India that all the smarter Brahmins and everybody, they all knew about Krishna. He couldn't really make much headway. He came to America, it took him a year to really, you know, establish. But he found the willing hearts, the fertile ground to plant a seed of bhakti. And this is what's grown, and it's still growing. The tree of Lord Chaitanya is flourishing all over the world. So we're part of that, and it's a really amazing legacy that we have. Of course, everyone knows I've been an editor for so many years, but I'm also like a collector of books. You know, not just physical books. I have a library, and every room in my house has a bookshelf full of books. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's books are in the topmost. But this is the golden age of accessibility, actually, of literature. You know? All we need to do is cultivate the desire to imbibe this literature. And so, in this kind of mood, I would like to share with you one verse that just came to mind. I'm not sure why. Maybe because in this temple, there's so many wonderful householders and men and women who are so nicely serving. But I'd like to share with you this verse that I discovered from the Padyavali. Padyavali is many devotees think is written by Rupa Goswami. Some of the verses are, maybe 10%, but most of the verses are written by other devotees, and many of them, they don't know. They're anonymous, you know. This particular verse, we don't know who wrote it. But the idea behind the Padyavali, these are Rupa Goswami's favorite verses. This is his own nectar file that he collected. I'm not sure, maybe he put it into all these orders, maybe Jiva Goswami helped him, but this in categories here. So this is a verse, Prabhupada would often quote this verse from the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, Yuvati nam yata yuni, yunam yuvato yata, manobira mate tadvan, tadvan ramate mana. I forget exactly the last two lines, but it means that just as young boys love to, you know, their minds love to take pleasure in thinking of young girls, and a young girl takes pleasure in thinking all kinds of young boys. Similarly, let my mind take pleasure in thinking of you, Krishna. So this is kind of an expansion on that verse, and if you'll allow me to share it with you. Asvadyam pramadava dachadam idashravyam nivam jalpitam balaya ividusha uttama vadu lavanya lakshmiri va prorgoshyam chida viprayukta vanidasam desha vani vame naive yam chaditam charupa manisham shri krishna nama. Hey, does anyone know this verse? From? O Lord Krishna, I pray that the remnants of your food, prasadam, may become as palatable to me as a young woman's lips are to her husband, to her beloved. I pray that the narration of your pastimes may become as sweet to my ears as the words of a young girl are to her beloved. I pray that the sight of your transcendental form may become as pleasing to my eyes as the beauty of a young bride is to her husband. And I pray that I may always chant your holy name with the same eagerness that a lover reads aloud a letter from his long-separated beloved. So this is a really sweet verse. And this is the idea, is that all of the desires that we have for things in this world that bubble up from the mind and the senses, that are like intrinsic to life in this material world, they're all meant for Krishna. The original desire for hearing and tasting and seeing and all of the senses are meant to be fulfilled in relationship to Krishna. This is what's going on in the spiritual world, and this is our original home. So now that karma, if you will, which is, you know, present in the body, mind, and intelligence, as we learned from the Bhagavad Gita, is now directed, because we're an illusion, to things in this world. And here, the prime object, the opposite sex, you know. And we know, you know, from experience, most of us, you know, how intense those desires can be. That same intensity, multiplied 100,000 times, you know, is meant to be directed to Krishna. And so this verse, this is a prayer. This is a prayer. That Krishna can attract us just as much as the opposite sex. So it's a science how to go from here to there. We were born into this world, just like, you know, tragically, as I'm sure many of you know, many children are born into this world. If their mother especially drinks or takes drugs, the child can also be very much affected by the alcohol, the alcohol syndrome. And also, they'd be drug addicts even when they come out of the womb. How horrible that is! But in a sense, we're all addicts when we just being born in this world, because we're in a material body. It's built in, right? At a certain time of our life, we'll be, you know, addicted to sex. Before that, it doesn't mean anything. But besides that, everything that we develop desires for in this world are a kind of addiction. We do it once, we want to do it again and again and again, and eventually we die with that desire. We come back again to try to keep doing it. And that's what life in this world is. So many unlimited desires. They're likened to ropes or knots in the heart that tie us to this world. So those knots need to be cut, or more precisely, they need to be transmuted or sublimated into desires to serve Krishna. And that's why, as everyone has noted, Krishna consciousness really is so sensual. There are so many sounds, there's beauty, there's fragrances, the taste of prasadam, right? Every one of your senses is meant to be drawn to Krishna. And most, you know, most importantly, the very, you know, desires, just like it's described of Ambarish Maharaj, kamam tadase tatukama kamaya, right? That all of his desires were engaged in fulfilling the desires of Krishna. And kind of reflexively, one reacts in that way because we're so steep, you know, we're so used to thinking in terms of false ego. And you think, as soon as you say, well, what about me? If I'm always, you know, fulfilling Krishna's desires, what about me? You know, don't I also get to fulfill my desires? Yeah. And this is where, like, the tattva comes in. Remember, Krishna says, and we know, that we're part and parcel of Krishna, right? The Lord Chaitanya says, Jivera Sotapoy Krishna Nitya Das, right? That's the first answer to Sanatana Goswami. Who am I? Well, every jiva, not just you, every jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. But that's not the end of his answer. The next part of it is, Krishnera tatasta shakti veda veda prakash. This is also a very important part of the answer. So we are marginal, eternally marginal potency of Krishna. Krishnera tatasta shakti means that we can go either way. We can choose to be influenced by the internal shakti or energies of Krishna, that's the spiritual world. And most living entities do that. They stay there, they never come here. We chose, you know, for whatever reason, to be absorbed in the external energy. And that's where we've been for millions and millions of years, in this energy. And so, but, beta beta prakash, we're simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. And that means, as we know from the analogy of watering the root of the tree, or feeding the stomach and all of the senses become enlivened, you water the root of the tree, the leaves, the fruits, the flowers, twigs are all nourished. When we serve Krishna, and we're conscious of Krishna when we serve him, you know, and say, well, this small little offering that I'm giving, please accept it, Krishna, please be pleased. Then we actually, the soul actually gets happy, you know. It's a mystery, but it works. And because we're part and parcel of Krishna, you see. Whereas if the hand tries to enjoy the banana on its own, you know, and just crushes it, or the sandesh, where's the enjoyment? You know, it's not there, right? Because it's the proper way is to put it in the stomach, and then the hand gets nourished. So similarly, when we are conscious of Krishna, we become and we're serving him with love and devotion, then we're actually perfectly blissful. And whatever happens materially, the point, number one, this doesn't have to end. It only ends because we forget, because the material mind then goes on to something else and we forget Krishna. It doesn't end. The sensual pleasures have a beginning and an end, and therefore the wise do not take part in them, says Krishna. They're the source of all misery. Part of that misery is, oh, I enjoyed, now I'm not enjoying anymore. I'm hankering for that same enjoyment. Or I wish I could enjoy like they're enjoying, but I can't, you know. Or now I'm enjoying, but I know that it's going to end. So that's another worry. You see, the material happiness is inevitably because of misery. Plus, it brings you another birth. But spiritual happiness, the happiness of serving Krishna and loving Krishna, you just had, and I'm going to share something special with you in a few minutes, Radhashtami, you know, I missed it by a week. But I'm sure you had a wonderful, ecstatic, you know, festival here. I can only imagine. Huh? I'm sure it was. I've been here for Radhashtami one time. It's, you know, in every temple where I was, I happened to be in New Dwarka. But why? You know, why was happy about that? You know, I mean, you're serving, you're glorifying Radharani. Would this come up for Radhashtami? Yeah, yeah, probably stay there, right? Why not? Jai Shri Radha, you know, because you're connected. We're part of Ladini Shakti. You know, we have that Ladini Shakti. She's Ladini Shakti personified. Ladini Shakti means pure love for Krishna personified. Radha, Krishna Praniya Vikutir. Srimati Radharani is a transformation, a manifestation of love for Krishna. And when you glorify her, Krishna becomes very happy. And that happiness is there, and that's why it's so blissful, you know. So that is our true nature, is to be serving Krishna 24 hours a day, 100%, you know. And that makes us truly happy, and we become completely indifferent. Completely indifferent. The great devotees, you can see, They're completely indifferent to the material conditions. Now, they're conscious of them. After all, you're still in the material body. But it doesn't impinge on their consciousness like an ordinary person. This comes in, Kapila Dev mentions that, at his beginning his instructions to his mother. He says, Marashayakatam vishta shinpanti katayantacha tapanti vivadastapa naitam mankatachetasa. That the sadhus, the pure devotees, they're always hearing and chanting the sounds that have taken shelter of me. In other words, sounds related to me. Marashaya Katam Rishta. Very sweet and attractive, like the Hare Krishna mantra. And because they're always chanting that, Tapandi Vidastapa, the miseries of this world do not impinge upon them so much. Tapandi Vidastapa Naitam Mangata Chaitasa, because their mind is on me. You see? And we saw that in incredibly with Srila Prabhupada near the end there, when he was on the bed and he was, you know, he was so thin, and the doctors came, how is he even maintaining his consciousness? An ordinary person would be crying in agony, you know? Some guest would come in from afar and he was saying, oh, how are you? How is the family? Did you have any prasadam? They would start crying to see Prabhupada, compassionate like that, concerned in his state. This is a sign of incredible realization and, you know, powerful yogic, you know, absorption in Krishna. So, you know, that's just one example. But the point is, we can also experience that, and we have experienced it to some degree. You know, you see devotees, I live in San Diego, so we get new people coming in, you know, and they come in, they're a little dirty and troubled, you know, everyone in this world, this modern world, even more than when I, you know, it's like, you know, let me get out of the torture chamber. You know, they come to the temple, and gradually, if they, you know, surrender, they start chanting. You see, his face clears up. You know, they're basically blissful. Why? How is that? Because the material energy acts less powerfully on them. This is also in Kapila Dev's teaching. So, you know, that's just the first installment. Ultimately, we have our heritage is to be always blissful, immersed in you know, the mellows of devotional service. That's really what we should know, is where we should strive for, externally or internally. Externally, we should try to give it to everyone else. That this preaching element is also an essential part of our sadhana, because we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, so much, and we get a greater taste for the Hare Krishna mantra and all other vibrations and everything else about Krishna consciousness. So they go hand in hand, these two tracks. I like to emphasize that. And that's just what Lord Chaitanya did. We read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the first verses describe the internal and the external reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent. So internally, he wanted to taste. I learned one verse when I was in Tucson. This will always be my Tucson verse because I memorized it there. So it's about Lord Chaitanya. If you start reading the Brihadbhagavatamrita, it won't be long before you come upon this verse, because it's the third verse in the whole book. And he says, some of you may know this, Svadayita nija bhavam yogi bhavya svabhavat sumadhunam avatirno bhakti rupena lobhat jayati kanakadama krishna chaitanya nama hadariha yativesha shi shachi sunaresha. So Lord Hari, he was contemplating the bhava, the ecstatic moods of his beloved devotees in Goloka. And he saw that, oh, sumadhunam, they're even sweeter than mine. Sumadhunam. So he came, avatirno bhakti rupena, in the form of a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And lobhat, very greedy to taste that sweetness. You know, Sri Radhaya, he came as Radharani, in the mood of Radharani, of course, the greatest devotee. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, who is a golden complexion, and who has appeared in the vesh, or the aspect and the dress of a sannyasi, and who is the beloved son of Sri Chaitanya. So that's Sanatana Goswami in his first prayer. So, what I'd like to share with you now, there's in Rupa Goswami, he has given so much. Here's the Padyavali verse, and so many wonderful verses in the Padyavali. If you want the Padyavali, just ask me, you can have it. I'll give you the PDF, you can read it on your screen or print it out. Or you can buy it. I think they have it printed now. But this is from this verse I'm going to share with you. These verses are from the Rupa Goswami Stavamala. And this prayer is called the Ananda Chandrika. What does that mean, Prabhupada? Ananda Chandrika. Moonlight of bliss, right? Moonlight of bliss. Chandrika is moon. And it consists of 10 names of Radharani. 10 names of Srimati Radharani. You just had Radhashtami, so I just thought of it. Now, 10 names of Radharani, they fit into two little verses. It's the size of most of the Bhagavad Gita verses. And then there's two more verses of benefits, the Palashruti. So I'm going to give you the Palashruti, and then we're going to learn these two verses. Just by hearing. They're not difficult. And then if you want, you can get the text. And here's the benefits. It's Imam Vrindavaneshwaraya Dasham Nama Manoramam Ananda Chandrika Nama Yo Rahasyam Sutim Sathe Saklesha Rahito Budva Budhi Saubhagya Bhushitaha Tvaditam Kaduna Patram Radha Madhava Yobavet. So those are the two verses describing the benefits of this prayer. Anyone can learn it. Two little verses. So it says, these 10 names, Dashanama Manoramam, very enchanting, of Srimati Radharani, the Empress of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwarya, are known as the Ananda Chandrika, the Moonlight of Bliss, and anyone who chants this very confidential prayer, Rahasyam Stutim Patet, who recites, here's the benefit. Number one, you become free of all misery. Your Rahasyam Saklesha Rahito, devoid of klesha. That's good, isn't it? But then you become Budhi Saubhagya Bhushita, decorated with all good fortune. And here's the best. Tvaditam Karuna Patram, you very quickly become an object of mercy for Radha and Madhava. So, you want to chant? Okay, we'll learn this. This is very simple. It'll do like a little bit like the Pushpanjali, you know, word by line. Line by line. So the first line, see if you can. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radha Damodara Preshta. Preshta means most dear beloved. She's most dear to Damodara. And her name is Radha. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radha Damodara Preshta. Next line. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Varshabhanavi, the daughter of King Vrishabhana. Simple. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Radha Dhamavada Preshta. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Okay, so the next name is the toughest name, and we'll explain. So here's how it goes. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Samasta Ballavi means all of the gopis. Vrinda means the multitude. So of all the multitude of the gopis. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Dhammilla. Now Dhammilla is the decorated braided hair. Okay? This is the ladies wear decorated braided hair. And Uttanksa means the crown. Mallika. She is the crown of a jasmine crown on the decorated braided hair of all the other gopis. In other words, she's the foremost of the gopis. You understand how it works? This is a difficult one, but I'll get it. So let's work. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Dhammillo Tanksa Mallika. Uttanksa is the crown. Dhammilla is the braided hair. And Mallika is simply jasmine. Dhammillo Tanksa Mallika. Okay, this is one name, these two lines. So, Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Dhammillo Tanksa Mallika. Okay, we're 50% there. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Dhammillo Tanksa Mallika. Okay, second verse is very easy. The first name, these are all names. Krishna Priyavali Mukhya. Mukhya means foremost. Priyavali means series of beloveds, all the other gopis. Again, Priyavali. Samasta means all. So Samasta Ballavi, Krishna Priya means his beloved. Krishna Priyavali, all of the other gopis, Mukhya, foremost. She's the foremost of Krishna's beloved gopis. You understand? And then the next name is Gandharva, a great singer. Lalita Sakhi, the friend of Lalita. So, first two lines of the second verse. Krishna Priyavali Mukya. Krishna Priyavali Mukya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Krishna Priyavali Mukya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Okay, two more lines, two more names. The next one is Vishakha Sakya Sukini. Means that she's made very happy, Sukini, by the friendly activities, Sakya of Vishakha. Vishakha Sakya Sukini. And then the last name is Hari Vrid Vringa Manjari. She's a blossoming flower that attracts the bee-like heart of Hari. You see? So she's Hari Vrid Vringa Manjari. Okay, last two lines. Vishakha Sakya Sukini. Vishakha Sakya Sukini. Vishakha Sakya Sukini. Hari Vrid Vringa Manjari. Hari Vrid Vringa Manjari. Okay, we'll do it, the whole thing line by line, and then anyone who wants the actual printout, just write to me and you have the whole thing. And then, you know, just by chanting this, you know the benefits. I just told you. Okay. Radha Damodara Preshta. Radhika Varshabhanavi. Samasta Ballavi Vrinda. Dhammilotam Samallika. Krishna Priyavali Mukya. Gandharva Lalita Sakhi. Vishakha Sakya Sukini. Hari Vrid Vringa Manjari. Thank you for joining me in that. Any questions on any of this? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking during the class that as you were expounding about the benefits of establishing a relationship with Krishna and you develop affection and attraction and all these different things, my big doubt that I have in this process is I hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that by remembering the six Goswamis, all your desires are fulfilled. And by remembering the Panchatattva, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, a lame man can cross over mountains, and a dumb man can become a poet. But there's still some doubt there. You know, this story of the Brahmana who crossed out the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I personally come to you to carry you.
Carry what you lack.
Lack and preserve what.
How it is
Krishna maintains his devotees and fulfills their desires, because sometimes, you know, you have these desires, and even in relationship with devotional service, and you're waiting and waiting and waiting.
Well, the way, I guess everyone heard that. The way I understand it is that, you know, there's two things. There's one is the purity of the desire and the intensity of the desire. Anyone can chant a prayer, you know. Anyone can read the prayer, right? But there's different degrees of attention, purity, intensity of the prayer. And I think Krishna is waiting for us to chant sincerely. I mean, how many times have we chanted Hare Krishna? Thousands, probably millions, for those of us who have been around for a while. Yeah. And yet, it says, you know, where's the love of God? You know, I still got all these attachments. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's not working. Right? The process doesn't work. Well, the process works fine, but we're not applying it properly. The key element in anything that we do is our consciousness that we do it. You know, it's almost like such a given that we forget it. I remember there's once where Prabhupada was asking something like this in reference to bathing in the Ganges, you know? And someone said, Prabhupada, you know, there's millions of people bathing in the Ganges, but then we see they leave and they do all kinds of nonsense. But where is the liberation? Where's the purification? It was a similar question. And Prabhupada said, yes, but it depends on the consciousness that you do it in, that you're bathing in, you know. If you're saying, oh, you know, this is the water that has washed Krishna's lotus feet, the dust is in there, and, you know, you're actually, in high consciousness, so to speak, appreciating the benefit, then you'll get more benefit.
I'm not questioning the process because I feel the result of the process, such as immediate relief from material distress and so many other benefits that you get. I'm questioning how Krishna is dealing with his devotees in different ways, and sometimes you're put in different positions or you have a desire and you can't fulfill those desires. Reciprocating directly with his devotees on that level, on an external level.
Well, the way I see it, I remember when I was working on the Bhagavatam, and we came to the 10th camp on the Rasa dance, you know, Rasa dance. So if you recall, the beginning of the Rasa dance, of course, Krishna goes out and he plays the flute, and the gopis all, you know, rush out. But some of the gopis couldn't make it, right? They couldn't get out. And there's a whole thing describing a long purport of Vishnu Chakravarti. Prabhupada also quotes most of it in the Krishna book. That Krishna, you know, they needed more heat, like a mango needs to be ripened, you know? And some are more ripe than others. And even the gopis, because they're coming from different, you know, by the heat of that separation, their feeling for him became mature, and any little remnant of material desire was burned out, you know, by the pain of separation. All of their, quote, you know, this is mentioned in Vishnu, all of the whatever remnants of bad karma, you know, that they were supposed to suffer, that's all finished. And the incredible ecstasy of separation of Krishna, you know, the pleasure, that relieved all of their good karma. In other words, you have to suffer for both, you know, good and bad karma, the punya. So that was all relieved, so they were completely pure after that. So this is an extreme example, but in the same way, you know, those of us who have at least taken a few steps toward Krishna, but we're still like, you know, got one foot in the other boat, you know, and we're hanging on, and this is the truth. Then you say, well, okay, Krishna's going to put us through some things, you know, until we're finally so desperate that we call out to him with absolutely no hedging, you know, and at that point we'll feel a tremendous weight leave us, and we won't have even the best intellect of material desire. And some of these experiences that we read about, the ecstasy and the symptoms and everything will manifest. Maybe it'll come in this lifetime, maybe next lifetime, you know. But Krishna is managing the whole thing. He's you know, okay, you want to, you know, play around with the material energy seriously? Okay, you leave the association for a while, see what happens. And we've seen devotees, you know, now it's been over 40 years, who have left the association for a long time. You don't know where they are, but then the inevitable happens. They find they have some, mortal disease, terminal, and they come back, oh, yes, that one's when I was happy, when I was in the ashram in 1974, you know. And let me go back amongst the devotees, you know. And there's a whether they go back to Godhead or that, but it's certainly a lot of purification that takes place. So this is how it works. Krishna's managing us. We're also free workers. We have our free will. We can, you know, we can turn our back at any time. But once we, as it says in the fifth chapter of Bhagavatam, once you taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, you can fully forget that, and eventually, because of the way the material energy works, you'll say, yeah, that's really what I'm looking for. Let me go back to Krishna. So it's complicated, just like karma is so complicated. Our path toward Krishna, is complicated because we all come to awareness with different backgrounds. So, but I have full faith that it's being managed, you know, that just seeing the way, you know, Krishna through Prabhupada and the Acharyas have somehow sustained this movement, and it's still going on after all we tried to do to destroy it. It's still happening. I mean, in other words, we made so many mistakes and this and deviate, but still somehow it's going on and growing, and people are chanting Hare Krishna, and those who have stuck through it are feeling this wonderful community. You know, I've been coming here since 2000. So, and he sent two, so it's like 28 visits. I'm 30 visits that have come in. And I see, some are here, always here. They've been here, you know. And there's kind of it's like planets coming in, and some devotees leave. And of course, they're all, you know, going around the beautiful Radha Shyama Sundar, Gaurinathai, Krishna Balaram. But it's, it's growing. There's an increased mood of devotion and purity. And some of it may be just because, you know, we're getting older, you know, and finally the fires are tamping down, and what's left is whatever Krishna consciousness is there, you know. And you feel that this is the real treasure of my life. There's nothing else of value, really. So I don't know if that answered your question, but I'm confident that that Krishna is managing it all. And we're all going to meet in the Loka Vrindavan. Go ahead. Tom Mahaprabhu?
I just want to thank you. A very inspiring class.
Hare Krishna.
One wonderful, beautiful verse.
Sorry, a little bit disjointed.
I just want to say on behalf of the Lacho community that you're talking about this separation and meeting, and I think that we all feel that way towards you, that, you know, we look forward to your, you know, visits every spring.
Well, you
and fall,
know, this is,
and then,
I mean,
and then
I
when
usually
you leave,
come
we
November,
feel such
I
the think... anguish of separation.
I usually come in November. I couldn't wait. I came in September.
I was wondering that you were so early this year. No, very, very happy to see you here. So thank you again for coming and enlivening us.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here. Okay, unless there's anything from the lady side, we can adjourn. It's almost 9 o'clock. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.